Hi, welcome to Adoption Now, your adoption show. I'm April Fallon. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to Adoption Now, telling your adoption story. I'm your host, April Fallon. We are in season 7 and just now wrapping it up. If you're new to Adoption Now, we tell stories from the perspective of the adoptees, birth parents, and adoptive parents. My husband Noah and I have had said yes to 7 infant placements, but only finalized on 4 children. So we know the joys and the challenges of adoption. We started the show as a radio program in Denver, and it has become the international podcast you hear today. We have learned a ton, and thank you for reaching out and letting us know that you have learned a lot also. We are a nonprofit, and we appreciate your donations to help us share these stories. You can find all of our episodes on our website at adoptionnowpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on Audible and YouTube. Okay, so last week, did you enjoy hearing the update on Malia? She's so adorable. In last episode, she came on. She's 6 years old, and she's just doing so well back in the classroom. I'm so proud of her, and I'm really proud of all of you moms and dads who do what you do when you decide you're going to homeschool and you were not prepared for that. Some of you out there, you homeschool and you're awesome at it. And some of us, we just decided to do it because we could see that our child was not doing well in the classroom. And I just want to say, I appreciate your love and commitment. And it's really a beautiful thing when you bring your child home and you can see them thriving. And here you are, you're teaching math. You never thought you'd be doing that. But watching your child grow is so, so important. And I love seeing that change in Malia and so many of your children. You've written in and said, April, I've had to do the same thing. So I appreciate your support. And I want to support you in just saying you're doing a great job. Because as you heard from Malia, she got what she needed and she was able to get back in the classroom, get a teacher that she loves, and she's thriving. All right, so today we have a very exciting family. We are recording back in Arizona, but this couple is not from Arizona. They live in Utah, and the guests are from Rod's Heroes. Brady and Andrea Murray, they are proud parents of, get this, 11 children. 7 are adopted, 5 through international adoption, 1 from China, 4 from Colombia and their siblings. And then 1 adoption through foster care. They are the founders of Rod's Heroes, which was founded in 2013. And Rod's Heroes inspires families to answer the call to adopt a child with Down syndrome or other unique circumstances. They have their own podcast as well. It's called See the Miracle. Brady, Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, April.
11 kids.
Yes. Doesn't that blow your mind?
That's glorious. That must be like a lot of food, a lot of Costco trips, a lot of Sam's Club, feeding everybody, getting everybody on the same page. I mean, we'll dive into how you guys do that, but you guys have biological children as well.
Yeah.
We do. Yes, we have 4.
4 biological kids.
So what made you decide to start the adoption process?
Andrea's best answering that one.
I think that this is something that Brady and I have been, like, we've just had a heart for adoption always. Even when we were dating, we talked about it. Brady is adopted. And so, you know, it came up in our conversation while dating, and I've always been a huge fan of it. And so it just seemed like it was something that we knew that someday we would do.
Okay. Did you have all of your children and then adopt, or did you adopt and then have some biological children, or what's the order?
Yeah, that's a good question. We did, and it took us a while to start our family. We had some like miscarriages and infertility problems in the beginning. And so we were kind of slow. And so we always knew, like in the back of our minds, you know, that we would probably adopt, but we ended up having, 3 biological children that were pretty close in age. And then we had like a 5-year gap. And then we had our 4th biological child. And after that, my uterus actually ruptured when we had our 4th one. And so we knew that we would not be having any more biological children after that. So it was just an easy answer, I guess, an easy time for us to say, okay, now is the time that, we can look into adoption and begin to go down that path.
Did you always know China would be a country you'd go to?
No.
No.
I can give some insight on that. Ironically enough, I would have put China as last on the list for us. And we really had no connection, emotional or otherwise, to China. But we always felt like we would adopt from South America. That's where our heart is, really, is we love everything Latino. And so China was not top of the list for sure.
Okay, so how did you get there?
So our second oldest was born with Down syndrome. And so we just like love the Down syndrome community and everything about Down syndrome. And when we knew that we would not be having any more biological children, and we knew we had this kind of like 5-year gap between our three oldest and our youngest, we actually wanted to adopt a child with Down syndrome who would be semi-close in age to our son Nash, so that they could kind of like have each other to go through life with, because we knew Nash has always been really close with his siblings. And when they started growing up and going away to college, we knew that would be like really hard for him. And so we wanted to have another child with Down syndrome who could come and, you know, just be like a buddy to Nash and be kind of a sibling that was going through similar things as Nash.
I would share as well with China. For me, I was at like the busiest stage of my life, professionally speaking. And a big draw to China was that it was only 2 weeks of travel versus we were seeing 4 or 5 or 6 weeks in international travel with the other countries. So that was an advantage. And the other thing that I would say is I was not on board with adopting a kid with Down syndrome. And that was something that, you know, we had started a nonprofit to help kids get adopted with Down syndrome. We had a kid with Down syndrome, but that was not like on my heart at that time. That was actually something that Andrea introduced, that idea, that concept to me. And so I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, maybe talk a little bit about that. How did having a child with Down syndrome change your life?
Yeah. You know, we found out that Nash had Down syndrome about 10 minutes after he was born. And up to that point, we had no connection to the Down syndrome community. We knew some classmates from high school that had Down syndrome, but ultimately this was our introduction. And that was a very raw and a very emotional time for me. Andrea actually handled that much better than I did. And that was a very difficult time in life for me. And still to this day, that's an emotional thought of when the doctor told me that my son has Down syndrome. And so, you know, fast forward, what was it, 7, 8 years later, when we felt on our heart, in our hearts, in fact, it was more like 10 years later, actually, when we felt in our hearts that, or when Andrea said, or felt in our hearts we were going to adopt, and then Andrea made the suggestion that maybe we consider a child with Down syndrome, that was a process for me to go through. And that was something that I had to, I'm a man of faith. I had to take that to God and put that at his feet. And ultimately he said, yeah, that is something you should do. And so I took a deep breath and we jumped into it, and so thankful that we did.
Tell me why you struggled with that. If you have a child with Down syndrome, how come you didn't consider that before she brought it up?
Yeah. You know, as a dad, I think that you have this for all your kids, but I think there's something unique in relation to a father and a son and those dreams and aspirations on what your child is going to do. And, I know before Nash was born, I had all these aspirations of, you know, backpacking trips and to the mountain ranges and state championship baseball games and just all of the things that we were going to realize with Nash when he was born. And then with the diagnosis of Down syndrome, it at the time, it just felt like all of that was not an option and that was gone. And there was a mourning that was being processed through that. And so the thought of reintroducing that mourning and that grief that I experienced was a difficult thing to say and to do. And I would say with Nash, he is very high functioning and is a great kid. I mean, he reads, he's like, he just basically takes care of himself. He's honestly our easiest kid out of all 11, actually. But, you know, you roll the dice with adopting a child with a disability, like Down syndrome, from a developing country, like who knows what you're going to get. So all of those things added into it.
So once you decided that that was what you were going to do, did it move faster because you said we're looking for Down syndrome from China?
Yeah. You want to talk on that, huh?
Sure. Yeah. I think once we, so we were able to find Cooper's file, you know, we were able to look at multiple files of children that were kind of in that category, that age range that we were hoping to adopt from. We knew we wanted to adopt a boy. So we had kind of, you know, specifics of what we were looking for. And so we were able to see files of children. And when we found Cooper's file, and decided, you know, that he was the one that we wanted to adopt, it did go very quickly after that, actually. It was, I would say that Cooper's adoption was actually the easiest one to facilitate, because, you know, an adoption agency called HeartSent out of California already had his files. So we were able to just contact them, and they just told us, you know, step by step, the process, what we needed to do. And so we just set to work on that. And they had told us to expect about a year, but by the time we started the adoption till we traveled was 10 months. So it actually went by really quickly.
One thing I would add is that's, I don't want to set a false hope, but that's actually somewhat common with a Down syndrome adoption or a child with a disability adoption, that oftentimes those do get moved along a bit faster, or that the countries are a lot more accommodating for those adoptions versus a typical kid.
How old was he when you brought him home?
Four.
Four.
And you basically adopted a star, right?
We won the lottery.
You won the lottery. Tell us about him.
Oh, where do we begin? Coop is the life of the party. And you know, we've been through three adoptions now, and they only are getting harder because Cooper set the bar really high, but it was nothing short of just miracles that we experienced with this kid. We went through all this trauma training and all of this preparation and saying, you know, don't be surprised if for the first 48 hours, he doesn't actually stop crying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just everything that comes along with this. And so when we got Coop and we got him, you know, we met him 10 minutes later, we're in the car back, heading back to the hotel in Tianjin, China. And Coop's just happy as a clam, like couldn't be happier. And we got to the hotel and we're just hanging out and he's just doing all this fun stuff. And we're just like in awe at this young man, this little four-year-old. And as we were talking to him, it seemed like he was understanding us, which was really weird because, you know, it's not like they were showing American movies in the orphanage. But as we spoke with him, that kid could understand us. And even to the extent that we like went to the extreme in testing his ability to understand us with very precise direction. And from the moment we got him, Cooper understood English, and not just us, but everybody. He understood anybody who was speaking English. And I can't explain it. It's, for us, it's just a miracle, but that really did set the tone of like what this adoption is going to be like. The interesting thing about Cooper though, Coop's nonverbal in the sense that like Coop will speak, but you're probably not understanding most of what he's trying to say. And so he doesn't read, he doesn't speak clearly at all, but boy, can that boy communicate well. So that's a preface of Cooper right there.
Okay, so I have people who are waiting to go to China to adopt, and then people who have already brought their children home. How did he learn English? Did you like call the place and be like, do you guys teach English at this orphanage, or you just never found out?
Interestingly enough, we were there with many other families, and our situation was independent and unique of other family situations. Everybody else experienced exactly what they said they were going to experience, and for whatever reason, Coop was good.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell us about what he's doing now.
Honey, do you want to do that or do you want me to?
Sure. Well, I would just add to the thing about Coop, like with his personality, is even before we adopted him in his orphanage, like he just loved to be the center of attention. And he was only 4 years old, but he would participate in like plays that the orphanage would put on, and he would be up on the stage and dress up as a character. And he just, even though he wasn't verbal per se, like he loved just being in the spotlight and having that attention. And like Brady said, like he's totally able to communicate. He has like the best body language ever. And he's just so good at like expressing himself without having to use words. And so that's kind of just an incredible gift that he has. And then, as far as
let me actually share one thing. When we were in China, We sat down, we were with our guide, and we went to a really nice Chinese restaurant. It was a beautiful setting. There was white linens and so forth. And as soon as Coop saw those linens, he took the silverware out and he made sure to get all of our attention, like, make sure you are looking at me. And then once we were looking at him and he had our attention, he went through and did this magic show to where he, you know, made the silverware disappear. And he had us like blow on the net or on the linen. And then he did his little spell. And then he, you know, magically made it appear and was just like, ta-da. And we, of course, just went out of our way to applause. And that is a perfect example of how Cooper is, even to this day. He is a showman to the extreme.
So your four children must have just loved him.
100%.
And was Nash feeling connected to him as well?
One of the most cherished adoption, even just experiences I've had in my entire life, is when we came home. We landed in the Salt Lake City International Airport. And in, at the time in this airport, there was a big escalator that you would ride down and all your family waited for you there. And they have it roped off so the family can't be at the bottom of the escalator, just to keep people away. And when we got there and started to come down that escalator, Nash was with Grandpa and Grandma and all his siblings. And he moved the line out of the way, threw it out of the way, and goes sprinting up to the bottom of the escalator with his arms up saying, "My Cooper, my Cooper." And he could care less that he hadn't seen mom and dad for 2 weeks. He wanted to see his Cooper. And these two have been inseparable since then. They share a room. They share a bed most of the time, which we try to get them not to, but they just love each other so much. And they are absolutely inseparable.
I love that so much. So that inspired you to start Rod's Heroes.
Ironically enough, it didn't. We had already started Rod's Heroes. We had had probably 30 kids with Down syndrome get adopted up to this point.
So you were already doing it, which is awesome, because now you are doing what you're inspiring other people to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So tell me how we got on the baseball field.
So I, one of our family mission statement, part of that is we can do hard things. And I 100% believe that our kids are so capable, even those kids entrusted with what the world would deem a disability, which I believe is a special ability. And so with Nash and Coop, like they go and do a lot of stuff that typical kids do. And one of those things is baseball. And so I love baseball. I coach all my kids' teams. And Coop, since day one, has been out in the backyard hitting off the tee and throwing. And he's just like the other kids. He needs to go out and practice, but he's actually a pretty good athlete. So this is something that I found very quickly, is that he can actually hang with the typical kids when it comes to baseball. So baseball's been a thing. Through Rod's Heroes, we had a pitcher and his wife, Justin and Libby Steele, reach out that pitch for the Cubs and invite us down to spring training because they loved what we were doing with the organization. And it was almost like an afterthought as we were on our way down. Hey, does Coop want to throw out the first pitch at the Cubs spring training game? I was like, I bet he does. And so we made arrangements. Coop goes out on the field, and sure enough, like unrehearsed, the boy just goes out and is waving at the crowd and just hyping up the crowd and doing what he does very best, right? And he goes out and they have the Cubs mascot that is the catcher, and the crowd's loving it, you know. And once Coop gets to the place where it's like he goes from showman, and then he gets all serious and he looks into the catcher, has to get a sign, right? And he takes a deep breath. He comes set, goes through everything that a pitcher does and throws a perfect strike, and then just goes like he just won the World Series, like celebrates like no other. And the crowd just fell in love with this kid. And the Cubs actually saw it as well and came up to us and said, hey, is there any way he could come out to Chicago and actually do this at Wrigley for one of our regular season games? And we're like, that would be a dream come true. So on Memorial Day last year, we went to Wrigley and Coop threw out the first pitch at the Cubs game.
Oh my goodness. That's so awesome. Tell me about his goal. He's got a goal now, right?
So that opened up some other opportunities. 2 weeks later, so there was some viral nature of Coop out there doing this. 2 weeks later, he got invited by the Boston Red Sox to come to Fenway and throw out the first pitch at Fenway, which what an iconic situation. And sure enough, Coop crushed it again. The crowd went crazy. And this actually started a little bit of a movement for us. And so the idea was born of having Coop go and throw the first pitch in all 30 MLB stadiums and be obviously the first person with Down syndrome to throw out the first pitch in all 30 MLB stadiums. But more importantly, do this to be able to inspire the adoption of 30 other kids just like Coop. And so we're now on this campaign. We've completed 4 pitches last year, and we have multiple other stops scheduled this year. But the idea is we'll do 30 pitches in 30 MLB stadiums and get 30 kids adopted.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. So where can people find you? Are you on Instagram? They can follow you there.
Yeah. Coop's got his own Instagram channel. I mean, we're just living in Coop's world. And so it's Team Coop 21 is Coop's Instagram handle. You can also follow his journey on our Rod's Heroes Instagram. So Rod's Heroes, and then Coop has his own website, coopermurray.org. And you can also learn about it on the rods.org website.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your other adoptions. So where in there did you decide we're going to do foster care?
That is Andrea's department there, because that was another one where I'm like, this does not pass the smell test, honey.
Yeah. So after we brought Cooper home a couple of years after he had been home, I just kept having these feelings of like that we should do foster care and not necessarily to adopt. Actually, in fact, we didn't think we were going to do it to adopt. We just thought, you know, like we've got all these little kids, like they get along great. They're so fun. Like we could help another child or two, you know, like we could bring somebody that needs a home in and they could, you know, just join in what we have going on here. And so that was kind of how the idea of foster care was born. And then of course it turned out that our very first placement, was our two beautiful little daughters, like that came, they were supposed to stay for just a few days. And it, you know, those few days turned into a few weeks and a few months and then a few years. And after we had had them for 3 years in foster care, we were able to adopt them.
Oh my goodness. That is so awesome. And how did everybody get along? I mean, I love foster care because you get a chance to see how it's going to function, right? Whereas when you go to another country and you bring a child home, you're kind of rolling the dice that everybody's going to get along. But in foster care, you have that time. So was it just like one big happy family?
No.
No, I would say not. It actually, so like when Cooper came home, you know, it was just like so great and just magical and everybody like just loved him and got along. And so that was kind of what we were expecting would happen again. With these two little girls, it was a lot more difficult. They had been through some trauma. They were very young. And it was just harder. Like, you know, they had some probably I would say like attachment issues going on and just a lot harder personalities. They were very loud and just like very hyperactive. And at the time we didn't know, but they have ADHD. And so that was kind of like playing into it. So it was just like a harder dynamic, harder for the other kids to get along with them because, you know, the other kids were just like pretty quiet and laid back. And these girls came in and they were just like kind of loud and invasive and in your face and, you know, just like constantly needing things, very, very like insecure. I would say like anytime I would go anywhere, there would be meltdowns because, you know, they would want to come with me. And
I would like share a specific story on that. I was in Alaska with my son. We were fishing when this placement happened, and Andrea, called me and said, "Hey, you know, what do you think about this situation? They may only be here a few weeks." And I'm like, "I don't know. What do you think?" And she said, "Well, too late. They're here. I accepted it. So we have
a
place." And I said, "Great. I totally trust you." And so it was 4 or 5 days later, I got home. And as I came in the front door or the back door, the youngest girl who was 16, Livy, just burst into tears and started screaming like screaming, like petrified when I walked in the door. And Andrea came out and she said, "Don't take it personal. She does this every time she sees a man." And so we had a lot that we had to work through with these kids. And it's so amazing to fast forward now, 4 years later, and that little girl is amazing and is daddy's little girl. We have so much fun together. And so, yeah, it's been a journey.
Walking through someone's, a little person's healing is so challenging. you know, they don't just come to your house often and throw their arms around you. It's work. It's work winning them over and getting them to trust you. That's beautiful. So you have this huge family now. Why Colombia?
So that
he's
was,
like, honey,
that
was, you're going to need to answer this one too.
It was just like totally unexpected. That was not on our radar because, like I said, you know, we had our five kids when we adopted Cooper and we're like, we're so good. And then we had these two little girls come and, you know, like Brady mentioned, like it wasn't easy and we worked so hard, but I think that was part of the reason why we were like, we need them to stay in our family and with our family is because, you know, we've worked so hard and we've come so far, like we just can't let that go. You know, we can't send them somewhere else and have those two little girls have to start all over again. And so then we had our seven and we were like, okay, we're great. We're good. We have seven kids. It's awesome. And then we had the opportunity to travel to Colombia and to go down there and meet some children. And so of course we were excited about that with the Rod's Hero organization. We went down there with a few other people on our team and we just had an opportunity to go and meet children so that we could like film them and make videos so we could advocate for them. And it was in this process of doing this that we met our children that we adopted from Colombia. And this was up until this point, we had been advocating specifically for children with Down syndrome. But when Colombia invited us to come down, they said, you know, we will choose the kids that you advocate for. And so we said, you know, we're great with that. We'll do it. And they knew that we advocated for kids with Down syndrome. So of course they chose children with Down syndrome, but they also had other children that they really wanted to see adopted, children with cerebral palsy. The four children that we adopted, they were older and in a sibling group of four, which is extremely hard for them to place. And their time, they knew the children's time was running out. And so I think that was why they had us meet them and wanted us to advocate for them.
So one child out of the four has Down syndrome?
No, none
of them.
None of them?
No, none of them. They're all typical, but they were, at the time they were 16, 14, 11, and 9. And so they were just older. And plus being a sibling group of four just makes it harder to find families that are interested in doing that.
So were your children excited about that or nervous?
Well, I can share a little bit about that. And so, you know, getting the invite to go to Colombia from Colombia for our nonprofit organization to advocate for kids was a dream come true. And so getting to see them, you know, all of these kids, we saw 43 children during that time was just amazing. And like Andrea said, we were not in the market to adopt by any means. We were helping to inspire other families. And so when Andrea and I felt in our hearts many months later that we were supposed to adopt these the sibling group of four, we knew that this had to be a family decision. Mm-hmm. In fact, all of ours had to be a family decision, but this one especially. And so we got all of our children together and we put a big map on the kitchen table and we had some pictures and videos pulled up on the computer of these kids. And we talked to them about these children and about their story, that they had been in foster care for the last 7 years. They'd been in six different homes and they are on the verge of aging out, meaning they're going to be separated if John reaches, he's the oldest, reaches a certain age, they're going to separate these kids. And we proposed to our children. We said, how would you feel about adopting these four children and adding them to our family? And without exception, all seven of our children resoundingly said, yes, we want to do this. And that was a very tender and a very spiritual experience for our family because we knew in our hearts we were supposed to do this. And we also knew that we were in for it because this was going to stretch us beyond anything that has stretched us before. And those kids have been home for 3 months and that prophecy was true. We are being stretched beyond our wildest imaginations and we love it. And it's the most beautiful hard we've ever experienced.
Oh, I love that. Beautiful hard. Was it expensive?
Yeah, for four kids, it was about $60,000 to pull that off. Typical international adoptions around 40, but you know, I guess it was actually a bargain.
Yeah, 60 isn't bad for four. And how long did it take from the start to the when you brought them home?
It's like 13 months.
Just over.
Yeah.
I'm just asking these questions if anyone is listening and they're thinking about Columbia and what that takes in that process. You have to find an agency that will be working with that country, correct? That's like step one.
Yeah. And so this is a place where I spend a lot of my day is in working with agencies and working with countries. We went to Eastern Europe last year. I think Armenia is a great place. Bulgaria is a great place, but I would say without exception and any reservation, I feel like Colombia is the best international adoption program out there right now, by far. And so we've worked very closely with the Colombian authorities, with Rod's Heroes. We work very closely with a great adoption agency that works with Colombia. And without exception, they are the best program in the world right now.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. You can find out more information on your podcast because you guys talk about your personal journey, right? The podcast is about you guys.
It is. Yeah. See the Miracle. You can find it on any podcast platform. And we are very raw. Like, we're very open in that. And so if you want to see the inside of what adoption looks like, join our podcast and you'll get a good insider's view.
Andrea, did you want to say anything else before we close out?
No, just thank you so much for having us. I love the work that you're doing and just the way that you're uniting families with children and helping inspire people and make connections. I think it's awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you. Yeah.
And thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our weekly podcast and follow us on social media. Thanks for joining us on Your Adoption Show. See you next episode.